Thank you. It's great to see such a great crowd here this late in the meeting. So I appreciate all of you coming for this last session. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors in this study who were really helpful in determining how some of these treatments were going to be, how they're going to be employed. When we think about the opportunities and challenges that face confinement dairies in the Midwest and Northeast part of the United States, one of the biggest, of course, is certainly manure management. And whether it's from on the basis of how much and when how much manure is applied and meeting requirements that are often set by NRCS for phosphorus index and that sort of thing, or in Wisconsin, and I think certainly in any part of the country where confinement dairies, where they have to, where their pits begin to fill up due to precipitation, and they have to apply manure in the latter part of the during the winter, then you see scenes like this, and we know that the ramifications of the potential ramifications of applying manure at that time of the year in terms of phosphorus runoff. But when we think about manure management, just because of the low stocking or the low stocking rate and the relative number of animals and how much they're spread over the landscape, we don't typically think that manure is a challenge for pasture-based dairies in the Northeast and Midwest. As I've talked to a number of producers a few years ago, certainly they do have a number of animals, depending on the acreage they have, and depending on how their manure is stored, whether it's in a bedded pack that's covered, or a bedded pack that's outside, or as a number of them in Wisconsin are beginning to do more frequently because of the ease of management, they are installing pits for collecting liquid manure. They all see the handling of manure as a challenge, and yet because of the nutrient content of the manure and the fact that their systems are generally low, they wish to reduce their inputs as much as they can, then that manure becomes a very valuable resource on the farm, and they don't look upon it as something to be gotten rid of. They look upon manure as a resource to be utilized quite well, primarily because of the cost of nitrogen. Shown here is just a graph showing the cost of nitrogen for urea and ammonium nitrate, and these two forms of ammonia or these two forms of nitrogen on dairy farms that are grazing based, they are the last resort. They would rather not use these forms because due to the cost. But as we also preach to them quite frequently, we want them to keep the legume content of their pastures as high as possible, and they realize the value of this to their system. And if they can, they'd like to have legumes on every single acre of the farm, but they also have this manure to get rid of, and so they look at this as a challenge. We know the legume benefits to pasture include nitrogen fixation, they improve seasonal dry matter distribution, and what I think they are most important for is that they improve the nutritive value and animal performance. Because on a grazing-based dairy where they wish to reduce their inputs as much as possible, reduce the grain inputs to the cow, then those legumes are the energy source in as much as they possibly can. So the objective of this study was to determine the influence of nitrogen source and application date on forage yield and forage nutritive value and legume persistence of a red clover orchard grass mixture. Same time when Chelsea was having her plot seeded, we also seeded these plots. Red clover was seeded at 9 kilograms per hectare into a orchard grass monoculture block of about 2 acres. In April of 2012 and 2013, the plot area is mowed 3 times and forage was removed. If you ask the question, why do we not apply these treatments in the seeding year, our red clover breeder, Heathcliff Wrighty, said you can do just about anything you want to in red clover in the first year and it will survive. It's in the second year when you begin to see differences in persistence based on management and genetics. The plots were laid out in the following year, 3 by 6 meter, as a randomized complete block, and 3 replicates in April 2013 and 2014, these were the treatment years. I wish the pilot who had flown over Chelsea's part of the field had flown another quarter mile down the field and taken a very good aerial photograph of these plots, but I didn't get that from the University of Wisconsin. And this is what it looks like when the plots are laid out. These are the solid and liquid manure and ammonium nitrate Treatments that are applied to supply 67 kilograms per hectare in a single application. We had a controlled treatment where nothing was applied, and then the three forms of nitrogen were applied in April, in June, and now April came before, just before the right after the grass and clover broke dormancy. In June, after the second grazing event, and the solid manure only was applied in August after the third grazing event. And the reason we didn't apply fertilizer and liquid manure in that in the August time frame was that most producers would say that if they are going to use a manure source on pasture, it will always be manure, or a nitrogen source on pasture, it will always be manure. And we applied these by hand just because of the plot size. Yield composition and nutritive value were measured respectively by rising plate meter and near infrared before each grazing event. And when the sward height, each time the sward height reached 30 centimeters, these plots are grazed by bred heifers to a 10 centimeter residual sward height. We grazed each replicate with a similar group of cattle, and the cattle were confined to a single replicate for each grazing event and moved to the next. A replicate after they finished, which was about an 8-hour period. Red clover persistence was measured by line transect in October. I'll just mention that NIRS we use to predict the clover composition of the sward at that point in time for each grazing event. This shows the results for the total dry matter yield produced by each of those treatments, or by the red clover orchard grass in each of those treatments. You can see in the green bars that the nitrogen sources applied in the springtime in April, right when the orchard grass and red clover broke dormancy, were the most productive, or were more productive than a orchard grass red clover sward receiving no nitrogen fertilizer, while those that received nitrogen in any form in June after the third grazing event were less productive than even the control treatment where no nitrogen had been applied. And the least productive was the solid manure treatment applied in August. And that, again, was statistically similar to the solid manure applied in June. The solid manure application had fairly predictable effects on clover contribution to the sward. The asterisk shown in it for each of those grazing events indicates significantly different from the control treatment, and that is the gray line at the very top. And you can see where applying that manure or the nitrogen source right before the first grazing event had the biggest effect season long on clover contribution to the sward. And you can see as we applied nitrogen at each of the times when it shown on that part of the graph is that we had a reduction in red clover following the application. This had a fairly predictable effect on the mixture NDF concentration, and again this is the mixture of the whole, or the NDF of the whole mixture, and we increased NDF of the grass as manure was applied, and which essentially followed the composition of that mixture as well. Our dairy nutritionists tell me about a 5% difference in NDF is needed to see an effect in terms of milk production for animals consuming a forage. So we can see that this would have a fairly significant event for a producer that's relying on this forage to supply where this forage is the principal component of their diet for grazing animals. This is a clover persistence in October measured by transects, and as we expected, the clover stand was greatest where no nitrogen had been applied. But essentially after that, the variability is pretty high when you graze replicated plots with animals, and the clover persistence was essentially fairly similar. Some minor differences between treatments, but fairly similar across all of those all the application dates and application times and application sources. So in summary then, applying nitrogen to these grass legume mixtures, we found that annual dry matter yield was increased by spring application, that if a producer is going to has manure to apply to a pasture, and this is nothing new, we've seen this in a number of studies, that springtime is the best time to do it, but they actually reduce their yield when they apply in mid or late summer, principally because it reduces the clover contribution to the stand. We saw no effect of nitrogen form on forage production at equivalent application rates. Producers will often say to me, well, I know manure is more benevolent to the legumes in my stand than a bag of ammonium nitrate, and to this I would say, no, that's not true. And that nitrogen applied as manure or fertilizer to a temperate grass legume mixture, essentially any time during the growing season, will likely reduce legume persistence and forage nutritive value. And for that, I usually recommend to producers that if they have manure to apply, that they pick those fields where they have the least legume and perhaps use that as a means of increasing the production and the production and nutritive value of those fields that are low in legumes. Any questions? We had fairly normal rainfall distribution the 2 years that, now 2012 was our drought year, and that was the establishment year, so it really didn't influence, and we irrigated to make sure we had a good clover stand for the following year, but 2013 and 2014 were typical rainfall patterns for that year, so it really didn't have much of an effect. We did not... If rainfall was predicted, a large event was predicted, we would wait until after it to apply manure, so that because these plots were on somewhat of a hillside and I didn't want to apply right before a large rain. One of those rainfall events was the one that she showed a picture of that had such a devastating effect at high stocking density. We applied after a grazing event. My speculation, my feeling is that it was due primarily to competition with the grass. We saw a tremendous response to grass in the springtime, as one might expect when moisture is abundant, and less so when manure or when the nitrogen is applied in the summertime. Oh, Mark. Correct.
So why do you think you saw no difference if the manure versus fertilizer? Because manure is always given a 30% credit of the fertilizer nitrogen value. But here it seems like it had an equal nitrogen value.
Well, we measured the concentration of nitrogen, and we measured total N in the manure before we applied. So that was that's how we equilibrated with the fertilizer. So your question is, why didn't we expect to see some credit?
No, if you put one unit of fertilizer and one unit of manure, usually manure gives you only 30% of the value of fertilizer. You know, the manure credit is usually about 30%, but here you found that they had equal.
Yeah, they were essentially similar. Yeah. No, it was on a nitrogen basis, and if the pit had lower nitrogen in the summertime or higher nitrogen as what usually the case, then we would apply more product. We'd apply more manure. If I had to speculate, and I don't know if red clover is capable of going this, whether it would be more productive and remains somewhat more productive with manure. The data didn't show it at each of the grazing events, so I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure how to explain that.
Thank you.